This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to dive back into some gridiron gravy, and I want to start with this discussion that usually during the press conferences, people are like, I'm so tired of listening to this. And I'm not saying that didn't happen at all. But different than most Cowboys press conferences I can remember in forever, it felt like Schottenheimer was speaking like a real human more, and that got people excited. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah. I'm pumped. I'm liking Shoddy, well-spoken, think he's going to be great for this team. I don't know how many games Schottenheimer will win, but he's already the best coach in the last 20 years at the press conferences.
And okay.
We predicted a long time ago he will win press conferences. We predicted that from the moment we talked to him out at training camp. We were like, okay, he's easy to talk to.
Yeah.
And you should be when you've spent your whole life around this and you understand it, you get it.
Right.
Now, can you take that and turn that into wins? That's the beginning phases of what he just discussed. Hey, man, I'm trying to put these putting competition. I know all guys do this all the time. I'm trying to get these guys in these competitive little things to grow the connectivity amongst players and also get them in that competitive mindset all the time.
Now, one of the things we started to talk about was Olympic flag football, and I wanted to ask y'all the question, like, would you want CeeDee Lamb to compete in that?
Yes.
Okay. Because the only reason no would just be the threat of injury. And John Harbaugh was like leading into the season. And John Harbaugh was already asked about Lamar Jackson playing. And he's like,
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's actually pretty much.
The thing is, like, if it's a real honor to play for your country, you should be allowed to do that.
Agree.
And so I'm that's a big deal for some people. Some people, they're just like, hey, man, this is another opportunity to go compete. Some people want to compete against the best, and they feel like that's an opportunity to do that, too. So, yeah, if he wanted to, I would want to see that for him. I would be very upset if he got hurt, you know, but you get hurt walking off the curb, you know. That happens sometimes.
True. Now, let's talk about Dylan Gabriel, because, look, we just started OTAs. And I believe it was former NFL general manager Scott McLaughlin who...
That was my wife's maiden name.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if I should have said that.
I don't know.
Is that a thing that
what are the last four digits?
Privacy, yeah. Privacy things.
So he doesn't seem super pumped for Dylan Gabriel, but I'll read you the quote and let you judge for yourself. I see him as a number two for life at best.
Dang.
I see him as a really good college quarterback. I see him as an average NFL quarterback. So it didn't sound like he's super pumped about that.
It's Carter Freeman's back there. Did you hear that quote? Can you give me a... No, he didn't hear. Okay, I wanted to get a thumbs up or thumbs down because he watched him play at OU and he watched him at Oregon too. I didn't love him at Oklahoma. But that's just me being a hater, probably, while I was an OU fan. I wanted more out of him. And then Caleb Williams ended up replacing him a little bit. Or no, that was a different one. That was Rattler. But then he goes to Oregon, where that offense was built for him and his legs. That dude can run. Like, he absolutely can run. So I'm interested to see that. But with Shador there, doesn't it feel like that star is going to outshine him all the time? And Cleveland's going to be like, we got to navigate that path. So I understand where he's coming from on that.
And then we get this text. I swear to God, if you guys praise him for doing press conferences well one more time, Bill Belichick and Vince Lombardi won all of the press conferences. So I don't really understand. I think that's an attempt at sarcasm on the second part, but to the first part. So if we do it again, that would be twice. So that one time where we said the people responded better.
Yeah.
This is too much for you.
And the thing is, I've said... We predicted that he would win that. We also have not said he's going to do it.
Yes.
Like, we don't have a clue what he's going to be as a head coach. He's never had this opportunity.
Now, Fred Warner, he got a 3-year, $63 million extension. Good for him. Feels very well deserved. That will keep him with the team through 2029. He is at the top of the list of off-the-ball linebackers at $21 million per year, and he gets $56 million in guaranteed money. I want to turn my attention to the New England Patriots.
All right.
This is confusing to me. The Patriots are currently favored in 11 of their 17 regular season games.
Huh?
Do you see the New England Patriots going 11-6? My answer is no.
I don't, because you got Buffalo for one. I'm not sure about Miami. You know, I'm not sure what they're going to be this year.
But you have to be, even if your schedule sucks, you have to be pretty good to go 11-6. And I feel like we're projecting a lot onto that Patriots team.
The Jets aren't great. So I'm trying to figure out their division first. Vrabel was a good coach. The Tennessee is a weird team to me. They're just kind of there. They exist. But he was a good coach, and he was well sought after. And he has an idea of what it's supposed to be like to play for New England. So maybe he can turn it around that quickly. But I don't see it. But the whole part of being favored, that's Vegas. They know something.
Yeah. Now let's go back to some of these potential rules changes, although it looks like a lot of them, if not all of them, are going to fail. The Lions resubmitted their proposal to base playoff seeding only on record. So they're like, hey, you didn't technically vote last time, so I'm going to bring it up again. And the NFL is once again considering onside kick rule changes. This time, what they would consider, and I could see this happening, they had limited onside kicks to if you're trailing in the fourth quarter and you have to declare it.
Okay.
Now, they're like, okay, you can declare it all game. And they're like, we'll let you do an onside kick, but you still have to say if you're going to do an onside kick at any point in the game, which of course does take some of the magic out of the situation.
I don't love it. I don't like the declare it part.
Yeah.
No, man, it's so much fun to just be like, oh my God, surprise onside kick in the Super Bowl after halftime.
True.
And what a halftime show it was. You know, like those are the things that I love the element of surprise in this game. And that doesn't, I guess the surprise is, did they pull it off? You know, did they actually do it with the other team knowing it was going
to
happen?
Now, I wanted to ask you about this because we were looking at a CBS article of players with something to prove, and realistically, it's just quarterbacks with something to prove. Do you think J.J. McCarthy and Bryce Young are on that list? Because I definitely think Bryce Young is, but man, I feel like a lot of pressure has got heaped on J.J. McCarthy for who will be starting his actual rookie year. And it's not like he was the first quarterback taken in that draft. I feel like a lot of pressure has been put on him, and I don't think it's particularly warranted.
I mean, to play with Justin Jefferson and Addison, though, like...
That's true.
The pressure is...
Cousins got to do that, and we all accepted him
that's
fine.
I think the pressure is to get back to what they were. Look what they did last year with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, that's true.
So the expectation is that Kevin O'Connell, and then if you hear this, Caleb Williams was trying to force his way to the Vikings. Kevin O'Connell's the quarterback whisperer.
Yeah.
So I think that's where that pressure really is from, is this is a damn fine quarterback's coach, who's your head coach also, and nobody really believed you were this kind of a quarterback. But this guy should be able to turn you into that. So you better live up to it. I see where
J.J. McCarthy got. I don't even know why we have that, but that is tremendous. And then Anthony Richardson is also on this list. I'm conflicted on this because I'm like, yeah, he has a lot to prove. But then there's a little part of me is like, we've seen this. The numbers are in.
I have no clue if Anthony Richardson has somebody that can help him be a better quarterback in Indianapolis.
And he's only turning 23.
Because if you're a good quarterback coach, you're like, man, there's so many things I really want to get my hands on him and try and figure out how to make him a better quarterback, how to get him to see the field. But, you know, some guys go into the room and they're like, yes, and they get on the field and their instincts take over. And sometimes their instincts aren't correct. But the skill, the athletic skill, the arm, it's all there.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, this should be a fascinating expressway. Is Pete DeBoer a great coach? And also, is there a real buzz building for the Dallas Wings? Are you part of that group? Next on The Fan.
22 seconds left on the power play. Marchman tosses it off the chest of Hellebuck. Played to the corner by Pionk. Circling that, taking it to Harley. Series over!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. The question is simple. The answer might be complex. Is Pete DeBoer a great NHL coach? 877-881-1053. Yes. No. If you want to text the Frankel and Frankel injury attorney text line or hit us up on the Twitch, on the YouTube. Let me begin with this.
Ooh.
So I was looking at a whole bunch of stuff, and this is where the word great, I think, does a lot of work. I think Pete DeBoer is a very good NHL coach, but I don't think he's great.
Do you think Ken Hitchcock is a great NHL coach?
Yes. Okay. I am biased, though, because that was like in my formative like years, and I saw him win a Stanley Cup.
If DeBoer wins a cup here, does that alter that for you?
Yes.
I'm interested now to hear the rest of your
Yes, it does. Thoughts. All right. So Pete DeBoer said this about being in the conference finals. To be in the Final Four that many times is a privilege. Just got to try to end up in the top spot one of these times. Except that was actually a quote from last year. But it could have also been a quote from the year before. And here's what I think it comes down to and why I think he is not a great coach. DeBoer has been in the playoffs 10 times as an NHL coach. 8 times, including the past 6 years, he has advanced at least as far as the conference finals. So you present that first point of data, you're like, oh my God, he's obviously a great coach. He's only been to the playoffs 10 times, 8 of the times he's been part of the Final Four. Rock on. And that is a really good thing. But let's take a look at other people that he shares that company with. He's won 96 playoff games. That's tied with Mike Keenan for 5th in NHL history. Behind Scotty Bowman, Al Arbor, Joe Quenneville, and Dick Ervin. And let's throw one more other piece of information in there. He has 19 best of 7 series wins. Again, behind Bowman, Quenneville, and Arbor. Keenan won the cup. Bowman, Arbor, and I'm going to keep going with Quenneville, and Ervin all won it multiple times. So you look at that group he's in when you're like, 5th most playoff wins, 4th most playoff series wins. I take you back to something that we talked about. Maybe it was on Monday. He's in that same category as the Dallas Cowboys of, hey, I win a lot. I just don't win the most.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
Important thing. And that's what people bitch about with the Cowboys all the time. And that's the thing that I think limits Pete DeBoer as a good coach for now, as opposed to a great coach, is he's been there more than anybody else who has never won. I'm going to say that one more time. He's been in this position more than anyone else in the history of the NHL that hasn't won.
I'm not going to sit here and argue like I know all the greatest coaches to ever coach hockey. Like you said, my learning of hockey started with Ken Hitchcock. Like that,
sure.
That's where I got into hockey. And then most of my hockey loving has been whatever the Stars have been doing. So over time, I've been watching them add and remove coaches and move around here and there. This is the coach, though, that I have felt has gotten the best out of this team since him. Or this franchise since him. I feel like you get... Now, I don't know what Montgomery would have continued to do. You know, like, I loved his fiery, sure, you know, a passion about everything. I do, however, think that the ability to coach this type of team to the success that they've had this year so far has been really is really nice because this type of team has a young Wyatt Johnston, a young Miro, veteran players like Jamie Benn. They're all on the same page, and that's a positive thing. Now, yes, he needs to get that cup to take that to a different place because so far it is, well, you're Mac Brown. You know, you just haven't quite done that. And that's got to be killer on his ledger for himself, right?
Yeah.
Like he's got to he wears that too. How am I going to get past this? Also, Kevin, if they had won last year, what was the thing we were saying about last year? Would that be the toughest road to a Stanley Cup title? And if they win this year,
it's a brutal road.
It is brutal. I mean,
potential to take on the betting favorite, the President's Cup trophy winner, the best player on the planet, and the defending champion.
Yeah.
That could be the road that you finish.
But to be great, you have to beat the best.
Yes.
So that is something that definitely he is a very good coach. I think that he's great because of the way he treats them. Like they love working with him. And I think they want it for him just as much as they want it for Jamie Benn. Is that they see him and what he's that question comes up from the media. I mean they ask it and he's living with it too. And they don't want him to live with it anymore because they admire this coach that much. Kevin, I went before the season preseason power rankings of head coaches in the NHL.
Ooh, okay.
Number one, John Cooper, Tampa Bay.
Okay.
Number two, Paul Maurice, Florida. Number three, Bruce Cassidy, Vegas. Number four, Pete DeBoer. So he was even number four on the list of preseason coaches this year with a team that was heavily favored because of the talent they have on their roster. So, again, being able to coach that talent, very important. But to get to that next level, being great does mean hoisting the cup.
And from the 3-2-1, because I think this is a great potential comp. Is Marty Schottenheimer a great coach? I don't think so. And he never won it all like Pete DeBoer. I was glad that we spaced that out a little bit from the Brian Schottenheimer press conference. Because once again, I would say, I think Marty Schottenheimer was a very, very good coach. But people like to overuse the word great. And in this instance, I don't think you can say that. You can go back to all the conference finals he's been in as well, and he's 2-5 in those. Like, at least if you want to, like, if you want to bring up Marv Levy, like, rock on. I get that. He didn't win the championship either. I will say at least, like, he was in the last game 4 times in a row, which is something that had never happened in the history of the NFL.
Do you think that in leagues like this that guys show disrespect to other people? It just seems like this league has so much respect for the guys playing in it and the coaches that are coaching in it. And I'm sure they're like bitter rivalries on the ice. But after that series, when he went through that handshake line, you saw the respect those players had for him too. The opposing players, guys that have played with him before, they like him too. But that is a difference. And when we're arguing this conversation, it's a fine detail. And that's what I think that anybody that's watching him, that's a fine detail. Is Rick Carlisle a great coach by your standard? He did win a championship. Yeah. He's been back.
Yes.
He's in the Eastern Conference final again. I thought he was a great coach.
And like just winning the title doesn't make you a great coach. You have to have everything.
DeBoer
that
has
backs
everything
it up.
Else up there.
So like when Andy Reid was at the Philadelphia Eagles, did people think he was a great coach or did they were like, man, he's good, but he doesn't have that little something to get over the edge?
It took him over the top when he won his championship. Yeah. Actually, the second championship was the one that took him to the next level.
And was that little something Patrick Mahomes or did he get better at coaching?
It's a combination of both.
I think see Mahomes that as
benefits
well.
Hugely from having him. And I think that that Andy Reid never he had Donovan McNabb. He had all these other guys that weren't quite Patrick Mahomes.
I'm kind of surprised. I actually thought there was going to be more pushback on this, but from the 6-8-2, I think he's great. The only thing he's short of is winning a cup. And I'm with you on that. Pete DeBoer from the 830 will be a great coach once he wins the cup. Otherwise, he is a good coach. Another person said he is a very, very, very good coach. And so then
I think that goes right along in line with what we're thinking here. And I love having him as the Stars coach.
Sure.
Anybody that's listening to Kevin and like, what are you doing right now?
Somebody did say my take was idiotic.
That's fine.
If we're going to try to balance it out.
The if that, That being said, I don't think Kevin's saying, I don't think you're saying this, I'll speak for you, that you're saying you don't like him being the Stars coach.
For sure.
Agreed. I think I have a lot of confidence. Now, obviously, I had a lot more confidence in him this weekend than you did. You thought it was going to game seven. I said he's closing it out in game six.
Or did I? That's even the tease that we had for our
show. You said it to my face. So that's what I'm, you know what? It's not on record. So, but I was very adamant. I felt like he had a, yeah. I had a lot of faith in him to get this done. And I think that next level of what he's, his urgency is going to pay off for the Stars. Now, can they beat Edmonton? They didn't last year. Did they have the horses to do it, or did they not have the right strategy? That's something I love too, Kevin, if you've been listening to DeBoer, how much credit he's been giving his coaching staff.
Yeah.
And his coaching staff, particularly on the power play and the penalty kill, which he said at the beginning of the season was the worst. And over the season, his special teams coaches have gotten them to be one of the best, and he's very proud of that.
So I got a couple of quotes here, one's from Otter, one's from Tyler Seguin. The one from Tyler Seguin is really fascinating. So Ottinger talked about DeBoer and said, hey, he's been there. He just hasn't gotten the result that he wanted. So I think he's learned from previous experience. So I'm really fascinated by the idea of how your previous playoff experiences shape your future, especially when, like you just said, you played this exact same, well, mostly
pretty
same,
much same
team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the, pretty much the same
yeah,
team.
In the same round last year. And then you go to Tyler Seguin, and this is a really insightful quote right here. Any coach can make adjustments, talking about DeBoer. But I think there has to be respect level from both sides, from the player and the coach, for the buy-in. And I think that's what he does a good job of. Starting from day one of training camp, there's a respect and a relationship between him and all the individuals. It's always been black and white. There are no gray areas. I've been on teams where there's sometimes gray. And I feel like as a group, we know where the puck's going to be most of the time based off of our rules, if you want to call it that, or just our system. And that's from Pete.
I love that.
Me too.
My buddy sent me a video from the Stars' first round against Colorado. And it was about a 9-minute video, and it was called We're Built for This. And I watched it last night, and Kevin, one of the things that you asked Bochy about, and I'm glad you asked him this question the other day, was, do you ever have that meeting and just remind your guys who they are? And Boch was like, oh, we've had meetings. You know, and he's like, you can hear in his voice without saying, I've gone in there and kicked their ass a few times. He was saying it. And listening to DeBoer in this video, and I just watched it very late last night, but listening to him tell everybody in that locker room, they're giving too much attention to the guys that aren't in this locker room and not enough attention to the guys that are.
Yeah.
And, you know, telling the guys how much they do belong in this moment, that's another quality of coaching. A lot of times you hear coaches, they're like, look, I don't have to hype a guy up. They know what the moment is. But every once in a while, you just want to make sure that the guys know, hey, this is why I have your back. I think you're great. You should think you're great. And this crowd's about to go think you're great tonight, too. So go show them why. And so I did, hearing the way he talks to his team, that's a different thing that I really have a lot of respect for, too.
From the 817, so I like the way this is tied into something that we obviously have talked about a lot. Guys, we suck before him. We'll get back to that because that's not factually accurate. Dropping him would be like Nico dropping Luka. We've been crushing it since he joined. Nobody, literally nobody, has suggested in this moment that if they lose in this round, that you're going to move on from him. Not saying that at all. The question is he great? And 2 years before he got here, you were in the Stanley Cup final. Look, like, I get it the year after.
The talent's already built, is what you're saying?
Not necessarily.
Managing the talent's important.
Yeah, and the year before he got here, I don't think they made the playoffs, and that's what's facilitated the change. I'm just saying, I don't think we should act like this team hadn't been to the playoffs in 20 years. 2 years before he got here, they were in the Stanley Cup final. I think he's done an amazing job. But if we're going to use the word great, it does. I do not think it applies to Pete DeBoer yet.
Okay.
In a month?
I'm not arguing with you on that. But I think he's great. He's great, you know, in that respect. I love having him as the coach. I want this team to earn that next level though for him, to where it is not even debatable.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what we're also saying. We want, and I think that again, he has that sense of urgency about where he is in this whole pantheon of things. And, you know, he's also humble enough to be like, look, it's about my guys first. Like, he is that guy. And I think, again, those guys want the same thing for him because they know they can change his status just as much as theirs. Hell, Drew Pearson, what did he say? That's what happens whenever you're a Hall of Famer, whenever you're a Stanley Cup champion. It's a little bit different. That, yeah. That party's a little bit different.
Somebody did ask this question, and this answer is astonishing to me. How many NHL coaches do you think have won multiple Stanley Cups?
Two, three?
19.
Holy crap.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Because I think it's partially because the NHL has been around forever and they used to have like four teams and they're like, hey, go ahead and skate around. We'll give you a cup. It'll be fantastic. But yeah, 19!
I do want to throw this out from the 903. 9-0 and still not great, huh? Hey, listen, he had to lose game six to get to 9-0, all right, in those game sevens.
Oh, yeah, man.
You had to lose game six to
Jordan,
get there.
The Jordan people would post the meme as like, what's a game seven? So, yeah, no, he is.
They even asked him the other night after the game. They were like, hey, you know, you have such a great record in these game sevens, but game six, you know, you got to win. And he's like, yeah, that actually is. So he admits it too.
I mean, look, and you can look at the coaching job that he did. Advancing out of the first round without Robo and Miro, I thought that was masterfully done against an excellent opponent. Advancing in the second round when you still haven't gotten everything from Robo and you're just now kind of feels like ramping Miro all the way back up. I think he's done a fantastic job. I think he's a really good coach. It's just, that's what we said. Great does a lot of work. If they win the cup, he's great.
I have three things here that I want to get to, okay. Kevin.
One.
Number one. So what I'm hearing is Kevin wants to fire DeBoer the way Corey wants to trade Josh Young. That's what they're hearing right now. Number two, which does Kevin hate more, DeBoer or the Rangers?
What? Neither.
Very good questions. Very good questions. And number three, if you want to talk greatness, Kevin, I have a piece of audio from the great one. Would you like to hear the great one, Wayne Gretzky?
Yes.
This is
Especially
Wayne Gretzky.
If you'll add in your snarky comment after.
Nope. This is Wayne Gretzky, who DeBoer did bring in. He said, guys, the great one wants to come in and tell you guys something. Okay. So here is Wayne Gretzky in going up to Wyatt Johnston.
Hey, man. Wayne Gretzky, you're such a good player. I always told my brother.
So he told him, I always told my brother since they didn't draft you that he was dumb as S.
Okay. Was this after?
It was after the game. Okay. Yeah, no, there was some celebration. But yeah, he was like, hey, my brother was dumb for not drafting you. He loves Wyatt Johnston.
I mean, that's a good point.
He's a big fan of Wyatt Johnston. So that's, hey, I feel like if we got the great one on our side.
Look,
we're going up against Edmonton, his old team.
And that's something for the future. And they traded him.
He was
the great one.
Yeah.
And they still traded him. That's something to keep in consideration. The Stars have so many great, or I guess I should say good. Got to stay consistent here. Very good young players that you have a core here that we like to think like, I hope they can win the cup because they haven't won the cup in 26 years. And then we'll start to get greedy potentially after that. All right. So we'll deal with that later. In the meantime, go ahead and give me cut number two. And I want to ask this question. Corey, you brought up this question. Is there a real buzz building for the Dallas Wings?
This game is still manageable right here.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
Beckers on Skyler with a layup. Page has 17.
All right. So they did lose. They're now 0-2 after two home games.
Oh,
and at times,
brutal.
And I think the Wings will admit they look a bit discombobulated out there. But Wemby was there. Dirk was there. Somebody sent a text in earlier and said that they got a chance to go out to that game. And they had a freaking blast. And they had never been to a Wings game before. And this is the key. They said, I think I'm going to really follow the team now. And that's the biggest thing right there is I know, and we've talked with the GM of the Wings numerous times, is they've sold out season tickets. for the first time. They're about to move to a bigger arena in a couple of years. They got Paige Beckers, and like it feels like things are building. But when you hear, I'd never been to a game, and now I want to really start following the team, I'm curious about if you think the Wings are truly building up buzz and if y'all are part of it. 877-881-1053.
I personally think that Paige kind of changed a lot of the excitement level, like took it to another level, because we said the last 3 years the last 2 years and going into this year, the women's college game got pumped up. Obviously, Caitlin Clark was a huge part of that, and Angel Reese, and their bitter rivalry between each other.
By the way, The draw is Caitlin Clark. Like, let's all just be honest with ourselves. And hey, if you don't believe me, let's take it a step further. Did you see the last Caitlin Clark game outdrew one of the NBA playoff games?
That's pretty impressive. But then Paige was one of those names too, yes, that people were like, oh, I'm interested to see what she is. When Dallas got her, I was like, okay, that's fun and everything. And then we got a chance to talk to her. She was fun to talk to.
She was.
So that was obviously for me, it's a personal thing. I was like, I want to see, you know, what she's all about. I saw her at college. I watched her. I thought she was a fun player. What is she here? They look, like you said, discombobulated. They have some defensive work that they could get better at.
They did change out a lot.
The offseason. We looked at the offense last night, and Paige had, 19? Arike had 8, and that Arike is your best scorer. So I think that there is an interest there. Dirk being there says a lot for that. That place looked packed last night too. I think that says a lot for the push for it. But I know there are going to be people that are just like, I only have room for 4 teams, and that's all my brain can handle, and I don't want to watch women play sports.
Yeah, and look,
and I get it. Last night I gave it a shot.
And with all that said, I mean, I definitely think, and if he disagrees, feel free to call up the show. You know the hotline. Well, actually, there's no chance he remembers the hotline. That's where Mike fell on this. He's like, he does not particularly want to watch women's basketball.
And he didn't know the hotline number while he was
here. Yeah, that's a good point. I withdraw that statement for sure. And so I know there are some people who have kind of drawn their line in the sand. And then obviously this has become like a confusing sort of political issue to some people as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes.
That seems unnecessary.
And I still, I just think like you should watch it if you like it, and you should not watch it if you don't like it. Like, aside from how you feel about political things and everything, I think you should be able to just make up your own mind specifically about women's basketball. And they have started off 0-2, and somebody said, well, that's not good, especially with 2 home games. Fact, remember last year they were 9-31. All right, there's a reason they got the number one pick. And it's not because they went the Mavericks route of being not so great and then they got lucky. No, they deserved the number one pick because they were awful last year. So this is going to be a work in progress, even with Paige. Now, Alec, I'm curious your thoughts, because where do you fall on the buzz of the Wings? Because I know Reggie, he loves the WNBA and all things involved. We just said, Mike, maybe not so much. Where do you fall on what is a rebuilding team? I know they choose not to use that word, but that's what's happening right now.
It is hard to not get expectations ramped up way too high whenever you do get the number one pick. And then, like you said, you got to bring yourself back down to earth, remembering why they got the number one overall pick.
Yes.
That pick alone is not going to fix everything. Work in progress is a very even generous way to put it, because it wasn't just adding Paige to the fold. It was also moving on from some other names, like Satu Sabo is not on the team anymore. You know, she wanted to get out of here, so you move her. You bring in Dejanay Carrington. Like, there's a lot of ebbing and flowing here and trying to figure out what is going to work. You know, what is going to help us score points, but, you know, not allow a lot of points against some of these really talented scoring teams. So, like, it's tough to not get too invested, you know, and too excited. But I do buy into the hype. I mean, to the point where I feel like they're marketing it a lot more. I'm seeing it on TV more. I'm seeing it on social media a lot more. I'm getting ads for Paige Beckers jerseys on Instagram and stuff. It feels hard to avoid it, and I think for all the right reasons. And I will be going to games this year. It's just, again, I got to bring myself back down to earth. If Paige scores 25 in a game and you still lose, I got to remember, hey, it's going to happen a few times.
So that's a great example. Last night, Paige, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals. No rookie in franchise history had ever put together a stat line like that, and they lost. Mm. So, like, that's to your point. I think that is absolutely fair right there. From the 469, thanks a lot, Kevin and Corey. You got me excited. Then they lost a preseason game and not won any games yet this season. Trying to get into the WNBA, but I need some wins. From the 817, I'm definitely going to be following. I hope it keeps building. I had never been to a game either, but I loved it. And then I see a whole lot of people who don't like it and don't want to watch it. I think it should be as simple as that. You don't have to like it. You don't have to watch it. We talk about stuff on this show that I'm willing to bet all three of us to different levels don't like. Look, I've tried to learn more things about golf. I think the idea of watching golf is intolerable. That sounds awful to me. But I also know that there are millions and millions and millions of people who love it. When the Indiana Fever and the Dallas Wings play at the American Airlines Center, that place is going to be a legitimate sellout. All right, so that means a lot of people in the Metroplex care about this one way or another. So if you don't like it, I'm not telling you you have to like it or you're a bad person. You could just not like it. But it seems like there's a lot of people that do like it.
You go ahead and tell them, though. Say you're a bad person.
No, that is silly. I don't think somebody should be called a bad person because they don't like a sports team.
What if they don't like pizza?
No, you're not a bad person.
Most good people like pizza.
Okay, I don't. Look, I don't think you should be called a bad person based on a sports take or a food take.
What if they don't like ricotta?
Freaking bum. Yeah.
I don't totally agree with your food takes, but guess what? Most people don't agree with any of my food takes.
Oh, that's a good point. That is a good point.
See, Corey hates my food takes. He seems to tolerate me as a human being.
There are
being.
A lot of times that I'm just like, dude, you can't even taste the onion. The onion tastes like something else that it was cooked with.
I admit it's a mental thing. I know the onion's there and I can't eat it. I agree. It's the same thing. The Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, it comes with the pickles on it. Even if you ask for no pickles, sometimes they'll put pickles on it. I will take the pickles off. I will try to dab down the chicken, but I can still taste that pickle. Is it just mental? I can't rule that out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't hate Josh Young. I just want to point that out. I love and I hope the best for Josh Young.
Look, I know we were doing a bit with the Josh Young thing, but sometimes people do confuse what I think is a reasonable critique and at times criticism with, you don't like this person or this sports league or whatever.
Yeah, that happens sometimes for sure.
I think we can do better, just like I think the Dallas Wings can do better. They're 0-2 right now. Here's the thing. You should probably prepare yourself for 0-3 because they're going on the road against Minnesota. That's the team that they open up the season against.
Where Paige is from.
And Minnesota thrashed them pretty good, and a lot of people think they're the favorites to win the title. So just mentally prepare yourself potentially for 0-3.
That's where Paige is from, Kevin. I think she's going to show up to her. She's going to honor that place.
Okay, that's great. I just told you she put together a stat line never seen in rookie history by this franchise, and we still lost.
Yeah, she'll have to put up, Arike will put up better numbers for her. That's what I'm thinking.
I hope so. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Who hacked my Netflix? Should all stadiums have roofs? And AI is going to take over fighter jets. Next on The Fan.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.